Welcome to Let's Talk, a community podcast from the StarQuest Production Network, where we welcome interesting guests to talk about compelling subjects while our audience actively joins the conversation. If you'd like to join our live chat room for a future recording of Let's Talk, please follow SQPN on Twitter at SQPN or on Facebook. Find us at sqpn.com/Facebook. That'll take you then to our Facebook page, because the Facebook page is way too long for me to tell you over the air. Or visit our website to join our email list at sqpn.com. We're always looking for your input on future shows and future topics and guests, interesting people that we should have on to like today's guests, Barb and Maria. You know, we want to talk to interesting people and bring you some interesting topics. This is a community show. It works because you join us and you help us with that. And you can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or at sqpn.com to download the audio of our show. So let's talk about tonight's topic, which is summer beach reading. Now, our guest tonight to join us to talk about some summer beach reads. First is Barb Gilman. Barb is a Catholic school teacher from Nebraska, and you are a longtime member of the SQPN listener community. Welcome, Barb.
Thank you. And it's not summer beach reads; it's summer prairie reads.
Exactly. I always wonder about that. We could talk about that in a second, because I always wonder why they always call it that. But we'll get back to that. Maria Johnson is a recently retired professor on permanent vacation who has recently moved to the beach and is always a regular guest, a regular contributor to the SQPN network. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here from the beach. Not quite. I'm still in Atlanta today.
Okay. Well, my understanding is you're heading that way. You can tell me about it in a second. So, but the big question is, what you hear about this? You hear about this all the time in the media. This idea of the summer beach book, you know. And I guess the idea is, it's the sort of book that you take to the beach or you take on vacation. That's light. It's easy to pick up. It's not too heavy. Physically or mentally, and then you can get engrossed in it, but you can also put it aside to go do vacation-y things. Is that sound about right? I mean, what kind of books do you like to read on vacation? Barb, I'll start with you, Barb. What kind of books do you like to read on vacation?
Well, I am a third grade teacher, so I enjoy reading books for kids. So I like getting a good story. Don't have to worry about content being, you know, scandalous. But and I also like to read a popular book, and that's something I look for in a beach read.
Great. And how about you, Maria?
Well, I typically go to the New York Times bestseller and pick up probably the most scandalous and obnoxious book there is. And the problem with that is that it's just so not memorable. So I couldn't come up with a previous title if you held me accountable to it. But I'm in a unique situation now with my retirement in that I can actually indulge in the kind of book that I'd like to read. Because I'm a literature professor, I was always reading the assignments that I was trying to keep two steps ahead of my students with. So, you know, I just recently read Othello for like maybe the 100th time, you know. So I've done something insane for this summer and picked up a tome that has 14 volumes in it. So we'll see if I can get through that.
It doesn't matter.
It's permanent beach vacation for me.
It's permanent summer.
Permanent summer.
So, well, let's get right into it. Let's go around and just, you know, kind of mention a book that you're either interested in reading this summer or that you've read recently you think others might enjoy reading on their vacation. Barb, why don't you grab one from the top of your list and share it with us.
Well, of course, I have to mention Lisa Hendy's series of books, the Chime Travelers series. And what I like about it is it's four books, so a series, and she's an awesome writer. So once you get started on one, you've got the next one to go and the next one. I have her two new ones to read this summer. And it's Saints, good story. So I enjoy that for myself and not just for kids. Mm.
What would be the age group that it's aimed at, do you think?
I think it's 8 to 12, but you could do it a read aloud to younger children.
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. And so what is they travel about? They go. It's what's the story?
Yeah, it's very similar to a secular series called the Time Warp Trio, and also the Magic Treehouse. And it's brother and sister, and they travel back and they meet a saint, and she's had with Saint Patrick, and Kateri Tekakwitha was her second one. And so I've got 3 and 4 to read and find out about those things.
Awesome. That sounds cool. So Maria, what's your first pick for summer books?
Well, I just finished. I always like to have 2 or 3 books going on at the same time. And I'm sure that you guys are just like that too. So I usually try to do some kind of spiritual reading and then some kind of work reading and then something for absolute pleasure. So I just finished, and the review's coming up tonight. I just finished Elizabeth Scalia's Little Sins Mean a Lot. It's a fantastic read. It's really convicting. But, you know, the thing about Elizabeth is that she's so engaging that it's easy to read, even though it's a heavy topic, really, if you think about it. And like I said, I finished off with Othello and some poetry, and I think I'm going to let good literature just sit for a while. But I have picked up this Insanity from my son, the Wheel of Time series. Have you read that? Are you familiar with that?
I have not.
You probably. It's a fantasy series.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how thick this thing is, you know? And there's 14 of them. I think I need a drink just to even ponder it. But I read this first book, The Eye of the World, maybe about 10 years ago, and loved it. I just didn't have the time and the bandwidth to dedicate to it. It's been compared to, you know, the Lord of the Rings trilogy and its epic nature, certainly not content. But also to War and Peace. So if you can imagine that many characters, that's why I need attention to detail here.
It sounds a lot like the Game of Thrones in its epic scope and the number of characters.
Right.
Yeah. Well, actually, jumping off of what you're suggesting is I've got one that's called it was the Nebula Award winner for best novel this year, in science fiction and fantasy, called Uprooted by Naomi Novik. Now, you might know Naomi Novik's name from, she has a series of books called the Temeraire series about what if the age of sail in the late 18th century, early 19th century, you know, Britain versus Napoleonic France, what if there were dragons? Like... Which to me, I love the Aubrey Matarin books and the Horatio Hornblower books, and so adding dragons just made it all that much better. So she's coming to the end of that series, and in fact, the last book of that series is coming out in about a week, called League of Dragons. But she has this other book which takes place. It's a completely new story, and it's the story of this young woman who lives in this particular valley in this mythical land, and there's a wizard they call the dragon. And every year, I think it is, the dragon selects a young girl from the village who goes to live in the castle with him. Just to, you know, kind of set your mind at ease. There's nothing untoward going on here. Although, you know, the village, they all think it's scandalous. But basically, the young girl goes and she's, you know, acts as a servant, and he's testing them to see if they're magical. But the thing is it takes off in an unexpected direction, and it's a very interesting story. It's not like some stories which are, they were the one that was the hidden jewel, who we find out that they are the one who was chosen and all this other stuff. It's actually it's a much more complex story. And I really enjoyed that. There's a reason it won the Nebula Award. So that's one I've read recently, but I think people might enjoy as a sort of a vacation book. So that's our first round of books. So, you know, I want to kind of break it up the rounds, just kind of ask, vacation related questions. You know, what is your favorite vacation spot? Like when you can go on vacation now, like there's the, you know, I love to go to the, you know, the Caribbean or something, but that's not a thing I can do. But, you know, I like to, when my family goes on vacation, we go to Maine. Last summer we rented this house on a lake in Maine, and it was the most amazing vacation. What is your favorite vacation? Where do you like to go? Barb, why don't you tell us?
Sure. Well, I have something very similar. My mother-in-law has a cabin in the Blue Ridge Mountains, right off the Blue Ridge Parkway in the northwestern section of North Carolina. And when you go there, we usually go at Christmas time. So I love sitting in front of her fireplace and reading. But if you go in the summer, she has a nice deck and it's cool and pine trees and a lake. So you really get away from it all.
That's awesome. How about you, Maria?
Well, for the last 20 years, we've been going to a part of the Florida panhandle.
It says her connection error. Oh,
no hearing?
Did she get?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. So for 20 years, we've been going to the Florida coast on the panhandle to an area called Mexico Beach, Port San Blas, Port St. Joe. It's called the Forgotten Coast or the Emerald Coast because people don't know about it. And so it's really old Florida. And it's very beautiful and it's not overdeveloped. And so we've gone there for 20 years, every August, every July and August. And so we're moving into that area. We've actually just, I was speaking to my husband minutes ago before coming on the air, that we're in the last bits of finishing the house so that we can move in maybe even as soon as next week. So that's where we'll be, our permanent vacation on the coast, on the Gulf Coast.
That's what everybody dreams of, is to be able to go on vacation permanently.
That's it.
All right, so let's go to our next set of books that we might want to recommend to folks. Barb, do you have another book that you'd like to recommend?
I do. Rainbow Rowell. Her first name is Rainbow, and she's from Omaha, and she is very popular with young adults. And her book I really enjoyed was called Eleanor and Park, and she does a really good job with dialogue, and it really does seem like high school, college students are talking, and I enjoyed it. She has a huge fan base. My college nieces loved it too. And that's a book that's a good, fun read.
Awesome. Sounds like fun. That sounds great. Yeah. And how about you, Maria? What's the next book on your list?
Well, I am finishing a historical novel, and I'm typically not a historical novel fan, and yet I have picked up several in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, and maybe I do need to just change that I am, in fact, a historical fan. But this one is called The Well, and it's by Stephanie Lansom, and she's a Catholic writer, works with the Catholic Writers Guild. And this is a beautiful story. It's actually three stories that she's recently published, or she's got the third one coming up very soon. And it's a fictional account and built a story around a biblical story that many of us are familiar with, and which is an old technique that she's using, but her writing is beautiful, and the characterization is just magnificent. So I'm a big fan. I can't wait to finish this book. I'm almost done, and I'll be picking up the second one after that. And I just can't recommend it, you know, strongly enough. It's called The Well, and the author is Stephanie Lansom.
Awesome, The Well, cool. Well, so my next pick is a little different. It's not fiction. It's nonfiction. It's an old book. It was first published in 1942. It's called We Took to the Woods, and it's by an author. Her name is Louise Dickinson Rich. She was a writer for the I think it was Saturday Evening Post. I think it was, and she's she was from Massachusetts. And she married an old Mainer, like this guy who lived in the backwoods of Maine. She came from, you know, from the real urban. You know, she's used to life in New England, and or in Massachusetts near the big city. And then she moves up to Maine, and they live, sort of, how does she describe it? So you drive to the end of a dirt road, and then you kind of hike into the woods, take a boat, and then there's a dirt road where the boat lands, and their house is in there. And then that's where she lived. So the blurb says, in her early 30s, Louise Dickinson Rich took to the woods of Maine with her husband. They found their livelihood and raised a family in the remote backcountry settlement of Middle Dam in the Rangeley area. Rich made time after morning chores to write about their lives. We took to the woods as an adventure story written with humor, but it also portrays a cherished dream awakened into full life. Well, I mean, it's just a delightful sort of look into what life was like for this particular family at this particular time. And she has a real good voice. She has an interesting voice. It's a Mainer voice. So if anybody who's met Mainers or is interested in hearing what they talk like or write like in this case, I mean, so it's really fun, and it's sort of a grown up version of the Little House books. Oh. You know, where it's that idea of this is what our life was like, and she writes it in a series of essays, because I think she was writing them for the magazine. And then later it was collected together and published. So it's a lot of fun. It's a nice book. And it's the sort of thing, again, we often vacation in Maine. So it was the sort of thing where sitting in the Maine woods, reading about a book about living in the Maine woods. Because that's sort of, when I'm on vacation in Maine, that's what I want to do. I live in the Maine woods.
It's kind of like a meta experience, huh?
Yeah, I love historical.
Yes. Yep. So that's our second round of books. Just to let the audience know that we got a little technical difficulty where Barb can't hear Maria. But Maria, you can hear Barb, right?
Right, yes.
Okay. So not sure what's going on. So bear with us and give us a little patience, and we might have a little crosstalk, but that's fine. I'll try to help manage our conversation that way. The other thing I would like, to kind of ask about is when you were a kid, what was your favorite vacation spot, Barb? You know, where did your family go on vacations, and was there someplace special you went?
My father owned a business with his brothers, and as a family, they bought a RV. And so we always got it the second week in August. So we were always going when August 15th. And so we always had to go to a church that was different than ours for Mary's feast day, and just a lot of camping and hanging out and good memories that way.
Awesome. That sounds awesome. How about you, Maria?
So I grew up in the Atlanta area, and we used to go every summer, every Sunday after Mass, we would go on a picnic with some other families, with friends of my parents and their children. And we would go to Stone Mountain Park, which we thought was so far away from Atlanta. It was such a long haul. And now it's down the street. If I stand at the top of our hill, I could see the tip of the mountain. And so we would go there and picnic. And, we had an ethnic thing going on that was really hilarious for the other picnickers who were packing lunches with, sandwiches and maybe beer. And my mother and her friends would pack rice and black beans, and we would grill pork chops, and it smelled like, Little Havana.
Actually, Little Havana sounds really good too right now. So for us, we we would go to Maine. Again, it's just a around here, people generally go to one of three places. People live in the Boston area where I live. They go to Cape Cod, they go to Maine, or they go to New Hampshire. That's pretty the three basic places. So our family went to Maine, and there's this place on the mid-coast of Maine called, it's this tiny little town called South Hope, Maine, called South Hope. And my mom had friends that lived there, these two ladies who, in a previously less politically correct time, they would have been called old maids. So they never married, and they were these ladies, and they lived on a farm, and they had sheep and goats and ducks and chickens, and we would go up and stay there with them. And they had like an antique shop, because I mean, it's Maine, because every everybody has an antique shop, right? And I think all antiques are gravitationally attracted to the state of Maine. I think that's how it works. But we would stay there, and you know, it was wonderful. We'd run through the hills and the fields and swim in the ponds, and it was just the best times of life. But the best part of the vacation was they had an old farmhouse, and every night after dinner we'd all sit in the farmhouse kitchen around the table, and my parents and my parents' friends who owned the farm would sit around and tell stories.
Oh, yeah.
They would talk about their lives. And as the kids, we'd sit all around them and we'd listen to their stories. And it was the most, I learned so much about my parents, about myself in a sense of like where I come from. It was very formative. And so those are the wonderful memories I have of vacation as a kid. So that's our vacation memories in a nutshell. So I guess that brings us to our next round of books. Barbie, I think it's your turn.
All right. Well, again with the saints, and again with a story that's meant for children, but I really loved it. The Pauline sisters, Pauline Media, does a wonderful job with books, and they have a huge saint series, and I've got about 8 to 10 of them. But most recently, they came out with one that was a graphic novel style, the manga style, and that's really popular with the kids. And the one that I read was the Saint Teresa of Avila, God's Troublemaker. And it was really a good read. I learned something about her, and the art was beautiful.
Oh, that's right. I have an 8-year-old daughter who loves the Saint series from Pauline, but I don't think we've gotten the manga series. We have this other I guess it's manga book of like the Zeta the Space Girl, I think it is, that all the kids love. So if I could get one that's then with Saint Teresa's her special saint, so maybe I'll have to pick that up for her.
Yeah.
So that's a great recommendation. I'll have to make sure I click on the link that will be in the show notes on sqpn.com with all these books will be listed there later. So thanks, Brad. That's a great one. How about you, Maria? What's your next pick?
Well, I can't get away from the literary thing, even though I try. And so this book that I've picked up, and I've only just read the first story in it. It's a collection of short stories, and the author is Mary Lavin, who's an Irish writer. She died, about 20 years ago. And I wasn't familiar with her. And I picked this up. It's called In a Cafe, Selected Stories by Mary Lavin. And as I read this and as I start reading more about this Irish writer, I think, you know, that your wife, Melanie, might enjoy it, too.
I mean,
when I'm done
Melanie
with it,
I'll
pass it on to her if she'd like it.
She's actually got a degree in Irish studies, so she's well versed in Irish literature, and so yeah, I bet she'd love it. I'll have to mention it to her.
She's probably familiar with this author. It's just new to me. I specialized in American literature for the last 15 years, so I'm kind of out of the loop.
You're branching out into new areas. Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't keep track of what she reads, so that's entirely possible. But we'll see. I'll ask her. So I guess I'll talk about another recommendation from me. I'm gonna stick with the back to the science fiction fantasy stuff. There's a TV series on the Sci-Fi Network called The Expanse. That is based on a series of books called The Expanse by it's actually the name of the author is James S.A. Corey, but that's a pseudonym for these two authors who are writing this series, and it's a wonderful series because it's a little different from the other science fiction out there. It's hard sci-fi in one sense. They don't zoom between among the galaxy at faster than light speeds. It's all all about. They don't have like special like fake gravity that makes them walk along on the decks like on the Starship Enterprise. When the ship is not under thrust, they are floating floating through those spaces, and so it just feels. It feels more authentic in one sense, but even more so than the atmosphere of it. There's and the world that they create is compelling. It's very interesting. You have the Earth and you have the Mars colony, and then you have people who live out in the asteroid belt, and what happens to what happens to humanity when we're months apart like that, and you know, people living out in the asteroid belt versus on these planets and that sort of stuff. So it's really interesting in that sense. And then you have these very interesting characters who each sort of develop along their individual lines as they progress to the books. There's, I think, 5 books so far. There's a 6th book coming out this fall and a couple of novellas. So there's plenty to read. But yeah, pick up the first one in the series, and you know, I recommend people to just, you know, try it out, and it's light enough. And if you've enjoyed the TV series, you'll enjoy the book, which gives a lot of more depth and color. The authors are involved in the TV series, so it's really close to the books. So it's good. So the Expanse by James S. A. Corey. So that's 3 rounds of books. I kind of want to, like, as we're going to wrap up soon, but I kind of want to ask a final question is, you know, when you were a kid on vacation, is there any book that stands out to you from when you were young and you read a book on vacation that really struck you, or was the sort of thing you liked to take on vacation? I know a lot of kids like to reread things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a reader, so I was always a rereader as a kid. But Barb, was there anything that stands out to you from when you read when you were a kid on vacation?
Well, rereading the Little House on the Prairie books. So those are my prairie reads. So love that series. Love rereading it. Read it out loud to my students. They're great.
I tell you, one great thing is we have them as audiobooks read by the wonderful actress Cherry Jones. I just love the way she reads it. And we'd play it in the car when we're on long trips. So and nothing makes the miles go by like that. And I tell you, I enjoy it, listening to it. I especially like the lessons from Pa, and, you know, and the lessons in Farmer Boy. There's some really good, like, economics and civics lessons in some of these books. I really enjoy that.
Great.
So how about you, how about you, Maria?
My favorite book to read and reread, and I think I read it every year or every couple of years, is The Little Prince. I don't know why. I don't know as a child why I was so taken with it. But as an adult, I go back and I just get something new out of it every time. But, you know, I was such a big reader in school that within the first couple of weeks, I read through all the summer reading assignments, you know, the list that came out for students over the summer. And my mom would just take me to the library and let me pick up the books that were for sale, you know, for like 25 cents because they were getting rid of them. And so I am more drawn, not so much to a story, but to the feel and the smell of the old crusty book that's from the library. And I've talked about it so much over the years that one of my daughters bought me J.J. Abrams' book S, Ship of Fools, read, because it has that old book. It even has the scratched out library number on the spine and everything. And that's the experience that I like, is the smell of the old book. Crazy.
Well, I tell you that, you know, going to a bookstore on vacation is always it's always a part of my vacation experience. A little independent bookstore. There's a bookstore in Camden, Maine, the Turtle and Owl Bookshop. And it's this wonderful, you know, cute, sort of nautical feel, coastal village bookshop. And my favorite part is always to go into the section where there's, like, all the sailing books and things. Like, I don't own a sailboat, but, you know, I'm not going to own a sailboat anytime soon. I just love that, though. You know, it's part of vacation. But even, like, used bookstores. Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's the smell of old books and the feel of just even, like...
The uneven edges, right?
the ragged edge on the paper. But even and they don't have to be great books. Like, sometimes it's you pick up a book for a dime and you're like, well, this could be good, this could be horrible, but I'm not going to lose much if I spend a dime on this used book. So that's true. But for me, the books, every summer as a kid, I reread The Lord of the Rings. That just was a thing for me. I love The Lord of the Rings, still do. I'm crazy about it. I think it's the best book ever, you know, the best novel written in English. I mean, that's my opinion. And so I would reread it. I read it, I think, 16 times before I was 20.
Wow, so Tom. I mean, really?
I was an obsessive geek before that was popular. That make me even more of a geek. I was a geek's geek. But then one other one was the Hardy Boy Mysteries. Mm. I love those as a kid. My cousin, who's older than I am, introduced me to them, gave me his set of Hardy Boys. You know, the first one is the Tower Treasure. And they're just these great, clean, straightforward novels about these two brothers who solve mysteries. And they're really refreshing books. So those are the ones I really remember from when I was a kid. So
remember Encyclopedia Brown?
Yes. Well, I think I might have missed Encyclopedia Brown. I think that that age group. I think I straddled it somehow.
You did the 2-minute mysteries in your age group, probably.
Yeah, I think so. Yes. So, and you know, my kids, they're reading all kinds of stuff now. But I don't know what's popular among the kids in school. My kids are homeschooled, so we kind of give them the stuff that we knew. So I don't know what's popular among kids in school. Barbara, what are kids reading, you know, as for fun right now? What's the big thing right now?
Oh, boy. It's anything and everything. You'll see, Harry Potter, but then you'll also see the graphic novels. Diary of a Wimpy Kid, which I'm not a huge fan of, but they're reading. I like to go, many states have book awards, and the kids, librarians nominate books, and then the kids read them and vote, and ours is called the Golden Sower Books, and I read those, and just recently read a book called Pox, P-A-X, Pox, and it's a boy and his fox, and it has a great lesson of trust and family and war and peace, so kids are reading good books.
Oh, good. That's good to hear. Because when I was a kid, there were a lot of bad books, a lot of junk that kids were reading. But we managed to find some good stuff too.
No Captain Underpants in the group, huh?
No. No Captain Underpants. But actually, Maria, you had a great suggestion, by the way, is that's the summer reading lists that a lot of teachers or libraries will put together. If you want to, get something for your kids to, go down to your local library and check out the summer reading list. Or sometimes they'll have them if you have a local either independent bookstore or even one of the few chain stores that are left in amongst the toys. There are some books still there to check them out. The summer reading lists are a good place to start if you're looking for books for your kids for the summer.
Oh, yeah. And if I could be a teacher here, and I know that Barb can't hear me, but I know that she'll second it. Yes, it's great to give them the popular books, but also give them the classics, because that's where they're going to grow, and that's where a lot of our Western civilization's values are conveyed to the next generation.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, we just finished. My wife reads to the kids every day in the afternoon, and just finished reading. She just finished reading The Lord of the Rings to them. So that was a big finish. That's been about a year and a half project between that and The Hobbit. I don't think they're going to do The Silmarillion. So,
I found that tough.
That was a little hard to. That's a little hard to read. What are they reading? They read a lot of The Wind in the Willows for the younger ones. They really like that, and then some history. There's some great. The kids are really into World War I stories. There's some great kids books about World War I out there. I was kind of surprised to see. I think maybe we need to do another episode of just kids books. Let's talk kids books because great kids reading, because that would be. And I'll Shanghai my wife Melanie and get her in here because she's the one who knows all of those. She doesn't like being on air with me, but I'll force her because it's going to be about kids books. So this has been great. Again, I mean, we could probably talk for another hour about great books that we like to read. But I want to thank you for joining us today, Barb and Maria. This has been great. And thank you for putting up with our our technical difficulties. I think it worked out well, regardless. We'll put links to all the books that we've discussed in the show notes at sqpn.com. And just if folks, if you purchase your books or anything else at Amazon through the links that are on our site, Amazon gives us a kickback. You know, it doesn't cost you anything extra, but they give a little percentage to us for sending you their way. And that helps us. We're a nonprofit, and we're working hard to bring you good content through our nonprofit mission. So you can find links to our guests' online presences on social media and other places. Those will also be in the show notes. Oh, and you know, I almost forgot, Maria, you've got a book that folks should take to the beach and read on vacation.
Yes.
Because it sounds like a perfect book for vacation. Tell us about it.
With a glass of wine. It's called My Badass Book of Saints. And courageous women who showed me how to live. And it's got a great cover and a great title, but it's really about courageous women and really historical women too, in addition to the saints. So I kind of weave my family story of immigration, two generations of immigration because of war and oppression, mm-hmm. and the saints, and how we can find strength through their virtues. So I think it's a good book. It won an awesome. Award. So
it won an award. Tell me about that. Was this at the Catholic Media Conference recently? The Catholic Press Association.
It was the Association of Catholic Publishers.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and so my publisher, awesome. Ave Maria Press, had two winners in that category. Marge Fenelon's book, also Marianne Dewar of Knott's, won second place. And so I don't know, it's a fun way to look at the saints, because we forget that the saints were real live people that were a little messy, and it's because they had their eye on the prize that they, you know, pursued a life of holiness, and we can do the same. So I hope you pick up the book.
Congratulations, well deserved.
Thank you.
I'm happy for you. And guys, you know, pick it up. You know, it has badass in the title, so it must be, you know, good for guys. So pick it up, read it. I'm telling you, you're gonna want to read this, guys. It's not just for ladies, even though the cover looks a little ladylike. You can put it inside your Popular Mechanics while you're reading, maybe, or get it on your Kindle, so you don't have to be embarrassed.
My pastor read it with a brown paper bag wrapper around it.
That's right. Just like when we were kids, we had to wrap our books, school books. Nobody will know there's anything untoward going on.
Hilarious.
But thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for that. That's great. Great recommendation. I'm glad we got that in there. So check out our show notes on SQPN. Download the audio of this show. Subscribe to the podcast. And at SQPN.com is where you're going to find our other fine podcasts. Father Roderick is back is back to his normal fire hose production of shows. We've got new shows we're planning. We got a big announcement coming up soon. We're going to be looking for people to who might want to be a podcaster. I'm just going to hint at that, and we're not quite ready to talk about it. But you know, there may be something coming for people who are interested in maybe giving podcasting a shot. But also, I'd remind folks we're still in our spring giving campaign. Like I said before, we're a nonprofit. We rely on the charity and goodwill of others in order to bring you this content in these shows. I won't spend too much time on it, take up more time talking about this than we did about books. But just know that anything you can give to support the mission of SQPN to bring good content that examines and explores the intersection of faith and culture and pop culture and geek culture, especially. I'm wearing my Sherlock Doctor Who shirt. That's what we're about, and you can help support that mission. You can do that by going to sqpn.com/springgiving. Every gift of any size matters. If you can't give a monetary gift right now, your prayers are very much appreciated. So again, thank you, Maria. Thank you, Barb. Thanks to our audience for joining us, and we hope you'll join us in our conversation again next time on Let's Talk.